and goes back today. But it's been a great week. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and it's good to hear one of our people that we kind of partner with a little bit. And so Pastor Joseph, his English is getting better each time, so it makes it easy, even a better call for us. And I know that I seen a video that he sent me one time where he's doing the baptism. And then there's this, he's doing the baptism in the river, and he had to go, woof, and flip out some water snake that was real. Yeah. We don't have to deal with that here, I don't think. So, yes, America, we just kind of made it nice and clean. So, but I know he's encouraged by your prayers. He's encouraged by our partnership, and he's got a few other partnerships in here, but he does a lot of reaching out, and so we've stuck with him, and it's a good thing. So it really is. And so just keep him in prayer there. And so just to remind you that we do have a concert cookout coming up next week, and so we want to make sure that we, not next week, but the week after. So it's 2 weeks. And so anyway, I think not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we should have, if you're interested in when it helps set up and all that, we're going to meet after church just for a few minutes and tell you what time we're going to start and tell you what we can help you help. Sound good? Sounds good. All right. So we are going to be in Acts again today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. This is kind of started kind of a thing, and I just was going to go somewhere else, but just felt like I just continue to run through this part in Acts. Kind of, some of you may know it as like the Macedonian call. Some of you, I don't know if you've heard that term before, but it is Paul, as we talked about last week, and his team with Silas, but he also picked up, previous we didn't talk much about it, but he did pick up Timothy on his team there, and Paul wanted to go to a couple places, and God said no, Holy Spirit said no a couple times, and Paul had this vision of a man that was said, hey, you need to come to Macedonia and help us. And so God opened the door there, and then they are on their way there. So what we see here in this kind of a Macedonian call, some of the things that the Lord has done. And so we're going to break through with that this morning. So Acts chapter 16, starting verse 11, from Troas, we went out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. The next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for several days. So here's what we have. We have a piece here now that Paul is moving in the direction of what God had called him to do. So Paul had a vision of going into Asia and some other places, and the Lord said no. Sometimes God is going to say no on some things that you think is a really great idea. And you really want to do it. And sometimes God will say no because he has something else for you. And we see that God puts us on these journeys. And sometimes God will send us and put us in things that is more challenging for us when he calls us to do something. And sometimes he'll want you to get into to begin to speak the gospel to someone that doesn't look like you. Doesn't have the same color of skin as you. My thing is, if I wanted to start a church, if I was going to start a church, I wanted to start one in Fort Wayne. That's where I wanted, if we were going to start a church, because that's where I was living. I knew the streets. I knew people. Our street on Buell was Muslim, black, us, Mexican, and then white. That's our street was diverse. I like that. God puts me here, and Carla, God puts us here in Huntington. That's okay. Not where I wanted to go. But when you do what God wants you to do and you'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit, what you will do is you will begin to see God move. That is one of the most critical pieces of Paul's ministry, is being obedient to the Holy Spirit. When you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, you will begin to see God move in different ways. And so we see that God is getting ready to move in this so-called Macedonian call, which goes through somewhere in the middle of it, chapter 18. You'll see that there's going to be some amazing things that God is going to allow him to do. Now, God didn't tell Paul, this is what's going to happen. God did give him, the Holy Spirit gave him a vision as he saw a man saying, come to Macedonia and help us. You see, lost people don't ask for help like that. But God knows that they're lost, so there's a spiritual part that says, come help us. Sometimes you don't know when you're spiritually sick. Now, as you grow in Christ, you ought to know, but there are sometimes you will not realize it because you're going through doing things in life, and you find out through some time that you are spiritually sick. And some of us right now are spiritually sick in some different areas. One, you're not living right. You're living in sin. You're doing what God doesn't want you to do. You're spiritually sick. Or you just don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. You can become spiritually sick. And you need to go to who's the doctor? The Holy Spirit. You go and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit begins to work in your life. You gotta do the things that help get you back healthy in spirit. So here it is. He is doing what the Lord has called him to do, going to a people that he's going to this area of Greece. And here it is. He's going to go. And that's where they land. And it takes a journey. Sometimes God puts you on a journey. We see all these places that he had to go. I want to go over here. I'm already close over here. I want to go over here. But the Lord said, no, I want you to go way over there. And sometimes the Lord will say, that's where you're going. And God has a plan for that. And whatever God's plan is, we are called to be obedient. I don't think that Phil and Pat Jones was ever planning to come to New Life Fellowship and live in Roanoke, but to serve in Huntington. I'm sure that Phil probably thought there was another plan or whatever it was, but the Lord has a plan, and I'm very appreciative of them being obedient to God's plan and being an asset, a true asset, as some elderly people that just give good godly wisdom and loves on this church, and they're a blessing to us. Amen? And so we're thankful that there are people that are just obedient. And sometimes that even isn't a change of position or a change in your season of life. It doesn't mean that God's done with you. God can use you. Okay? All right. So they are on their way, and they stayed in that city for several days. And then it says in verse 13, on the Sabbath, that would be our Sunday day, that he says, we went outside the city gate by the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women and gathered there. So here we find is they expected to find a place of prayer. Okay? I could say that we should be able to believe that if we would see any steeple in town that has a cross on it, we know it's a church, we should be able to say that is a house of prayer. We should be able to say that. But now we struggle. One is because most church doors are closed during the week. I think that a lot of them are struggling. This is a place of prayer. I think here at New Life, we talked about this on a couple of Sundays, we're trying to become a praying church, but we are a church that prays, but we're not really a praying church yet. If we were a praying church, we'd be here on Wednesday. If we're really trying to work that prayer piece in, I'm really trying to work that. And it may flip that one day, that it becomes a part of it, whether we extend it or we shorten it, whatever it be. But we need to be a praying church, not a church that just prays. I think a lot of church prays, but we need to be a praying church. And that's what Jesus said, my Father's house should be a house of prayer, right? My Father's house should be a house of prayer. And if you want to grow in any area, it is in prayer. I need to continue to grow in my walk in prayer with the Lord. And the more you grow, the more you find out that you're not praying so much for yourself as you begin to pray for others. So they look and they're going to try to find, they expected to find this place of prayer that they had outside the gate where they can sit down and they could pray. And then it says a God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household was baptized, she urged us, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Lydia's from the church. She's from this place called Thyatira. She's all up in this. It's kind of more of a maybe a lady that's got a business-minded lady. She's a lady that has got it together. And in her life, she's got it together because she's putting together. She deals with purple. Back in that day, purple was the color. It was the most expensive thing to color to have. And she was dealing in the top notch for those. But she wasn't so elite that she would be like, oh, I don't pray. She was God-fearing. She was God-fearing. And we see her name two times. And there's another one in toward the end of this chapter. But we don't hear from her again. But God makes amazing things with this. And so here it is. She knows of God. Listen, she knows of God, but she doesn't know about Jesus yet. We need to quit thinking that people that know God are saved. They're not saved until they know Jesus Christ, until they come to the realization that Jesus is the Son of God and they receive Him into their life and they give the life that God gave to them and they give it back to the Lord. They give it back to God, but they give it back through Jesus Christ. And they confess their sins and they say, Lord, I want You to be God of my life. I understand now and believe that You are God of my life. Here I am. I give my life back to You. She hadn't done that, but she was God-fearing, which is something we've lost in our churches today. We have lost the fear of God, the positive part of having the fear of God. See, I don't fear God in the way that the lost fear God. And even if they say they don't fear God, they will in one time, or they will one day, because it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And some will do it out of, oh, that's awesome. Others will do it, oh, in fear. And we're not have to do it in fear in the way that we're worried about God striking us down. God's not striking us down. He's lifting us up. And so we know that we're going to be good. But what we see here is this whole piece. With Lydia fearing God, but she needs to know who Jesus is. Here's the key word. It says she was listening. So some of us here today are here, but we're not listening. So if we're listening and we listen to what God has to say, we listen to what God's words are, we're going to obtain what the Holy Spirit wants us to obtain and receive. And so here, she needed to hear it. She was God-fearing and she opened her heart. So the Lord opened her heart because she was listening. How many of us need to be a better listener? I do. That's one for me and one for my wife. My wife says I need to be a better listener. So we need to be better listeners. There you go. You're getting it right. You just got married and you're already doing double hands. All right. Woo! Yeah, you got it right. All right. So she was listening. And God says, listen, there's a listener. And God opens her heart and she responds to what Paul was sharing. What was Paul sharing? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, it is awesome that you know God. It's awesome that you fear God. But you have a disconnect. You can't get to God until you get to Jesus Christ. Does it make sense for God to send His Son into the world to give His life up so that people can be saved? But someone says, no, I fear God. I don't need Jesus. No, you need Jesus. And this is why God says, listen, this is why God, the Holy Spirit, give. This is part of why the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and said, through that vision of a man saying, come to Macedonia and help us. This is the beginning part of it. This is the beginning part of it. There are a group of ladies down there by this bank, and they are praying. They fear God. They know God, but they don't know Jesus. And so Paul shares the gospel. And it says after her, and it says that she responded. That means she believed. She listened to what Paul said, and she received that gospel. And it says in verse 15, and she and her whole household were baptized. Isn't that, that is an awesome piece, that her whole household was baptized. She had a big old house. How do we know she had a big old house? She had a household. How do we know she had a big old house? Because these guys stayed in her house too. There was enough room to stay in her house. But this whole piece, Macedonia is now a changed place. It wasn't just God-fearing people, but now it's a God-fearing people that have Jesus Christ. And so Lydia is there coming to this realization that she needs Jesus. She receives that through Christ and through the gospel that Paul shared. But then all of a sudden it goes and spreads out into the whole household, and they are also saved as well, and they are all baptized. And now Macedonia is beginning to change. Why? Because God put a vision in someone's mind to go and share the gospel in a place that nobody else wanted to go, and things are beginning to change. Macedonia is beginning to change. That's why this whole thing is called the Macedonia Call. And what happens is some really great things is happening here. The receiving of salvation is the greatest gift a man and woman can ever know. Ever know. And they received it. They received it. And what did she say? If you consider me a believer in the Lord, and you need to stay in my house. And she persuaded us. Which means they didn't, no, it's okay, it's okay. Listen, sometimes when someone comes to the Lord, sometimes when people come to the Lord, we struggle with new believers. Folks, you've been a believer for a long time, you struggle with new believers. You're happy they got saved, you're happy they got baptized, but you know you struggle. Because we end up, we put the judging meter on. We put the judging meter on. We expect them to be here. When they just walked in the door, we expect them to do all the things and know all the things that we know. They don't know. And they're going to act like they don't know. And they're going to try to figure it out. And we think that they can't help with things because they've not been a believer long enough. Now, Scripture is pretty straightforward that we don't put them in deacon roles too soon. We don't put them in teaching roles too soon with the discipleship. No, they need to be discipled. But when we see them doing things the old way, yeah, we can instruct them a little bit, but we need to do it. Listen, folks, when you want to tell somebody they're doing something wrong, seasoned believers, we're not putting no love in when we do it. I'm telling you, we lack love and compassion. Folks, if a church needs to be anything even more here, we need to have more love and more compassion, especially with new believers. I'm telling you, especially with new believers. Man, we steamroll right over new believers. They just became a believer. We need to cool our jets on that. Now, we do know that there are believers that are not living right. They're living in sin. Those are prodigals. And God chastises those. He disciplines those whom he loves. And they end up usually losing everything they've got. And if that's the cost, because God says your heart and your spirit and your soul is more important than everything else you've got. It's better that you lose everything in the world than you lose your soul and be separated from God. But we need to be more cautious on how we deal with new believers. Not pushing them off to the side, but bringing them in alongside and letting them walk with us. We're not supposed to always walk in front of them. We need to walk beside them. And we need to be walking behind them sometimes and pushing them. Walking beside them saying, you're not going alone. Sometimes we need to take the lead because we know. And that's okay. Sometimes we need to be that lighter piece and walk in, and so they can walk in behind us. But we need to be doing it together, just like Jesus does you. Sometimes he nudges you from the rear. Sometimes he's walking with you. Sometimes he needs the lead. But Jesus is always with us, showing his love and his compassion. And we need to cool our jets sometimes. We haven't seen so-and-so for so long. Yeah, we can make phone calls, but we need to be careful how we judge our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? You can't expect a 4-year-old to know what a 20-year-old knows. And you can't expect a 20-year-old to know and have the experiences of a 40- or 50-year-old man. And even a 40, 50-year-old man or woman needs to know, to understand, knowing that they still don't know it all, but there are others that are in their 70s and 80s. Even though that they can't do a lot, they got something here that you only get by life experiences. And you only get by many years with the Lord. Amen? And let me tell you, some of the greatest prayer people that we have are people that can't do any serving, but they are praying. In nursing homes, in the homes, and they're praying, and I'm telling you, after 50, 60, 70 years of being a believer, that, oh man, there's some people, I'm telling you what, that pray me under the table. There's people that get up in the morning. I remember Ruth early, she reminded me, Jimmy, I pray for you at 2 o'clock in the morning. What the world? I'm sleeping at 2. Well, of course I should be sleeping at 2, because I got to get up early, and I got to go to work, just like the rest of us. But she's not working. She's retired. She's in a home. But you know what she's doing? She's doing the work of the Lord when I'm sleeping. She's praying. She was praying all that time, always telling me, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. 2 o'clock in the morning, I want you to know, you ever wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm praying for you. You know what? I'm not here today because I'm awesome. I'm here today because God is awesome, and a lot of people that I don't even know. This morning, I got a message from somebody in Pensacola, Florida that said, Jimmy, I'm praying for you today. I feel good about people telling me that they're praying for me. And I know that I'm not nobody big. I'm just a person trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's already hard enough, isn't it, sometimes? Life is hard. It's hard to be a parent, hard to be a spouse. It's hard to be whatever you do for the Lord. It's hard to get up and preach sometimes when you've had a rough week, or it's hard to get up and sing when you've not had the best of week. You know what? But there are people praying for you. I pray for you every day. I pray for some of you every day. I thank the Lord for the Joneses almost every day. And I thank Bob for his encouragement sometimes on Sunday. I just appreciate just what God is doing all around me. And it's not about me. It's really not about you. It's about Him. And how he's working, and what a great thing it is for Lydia and her household that God made a move and said, I'm going to move this man from what his heart is, wanting to go someplace, and I'm going to bring him into Macedonia, and I'm going to work a work that he can't do on his own, that Lydia can't do on his own. But God knew what Lydia needed. Lydia needs my son, Jesus. She knows me, and she fears me, but she doesn't know my son, Jesus. He died for her. Man, she took that, and the Bible says her whole household took it, and the Bible says they were all baptized. That's awesome. That's the beginning of this Macedonia call that just is going to take off here, and there's going to be some tough things that's going to happen as we'll go through in the next few weeks. But I want to ask a couple of questions here before we get to this ending part here. I'm going to skip some of my other notes, but I just want to get to some main pieces here. We are on a mission here, right here. God has called us, given us a vision. Some of you, we went down and we saw what God's put in my heart there in this hotel. You guys went down, we took it, and we're doing that today. But I want to share, yes, we're doing the ministries, but the gospel. Let me ask you this. Has the gospel taken root here in Huntington? Some of us, now listen, I've had to pray about my attitude toward Huntington at times. I really have. I got to admit, I have. Some of you heard it. I try not to say bad things like I used to back in the day. I could be pretty tough and pretty harsh at times. I know, because I got upset. There were some things I never shared of what some things has happened to me here. But again, I've learned to love Huntington, and I serve here, and I don't want to go anywhere else. But I want to say this. Has the gospel taken root here in Huntington? Now listen to when I say that. Has the gospel taken root here in Huntington? Listen, there's a lot of people that believe in God here in Huntington. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, too. But I also believe the sky is blue, right? Because I see it. But I don't understand it. I don't understand all those things. What I'm saying is people will say, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people running around saying they have Jesus, but they don't. They got him here, but they don't have him here. How does a person know if they got God or not, or if they know that they have Jesus or not? Someone has to share the truth. Someone has to share the gospel. Let me just say it like this. If the gospel is taking root, now people can choose. I know I'm getting, next week's going to help us a little bit more into where I'm going. If the gospel is spreading in Huntington, then why are our jails full? Why is the Huntington jail always full and they made an expansion? And even with that expansion now they took over, now they've got this new program down by the old nunnery, and now they got this works the drug program. You see what I'm saying? Incarceration is getting bigger. We have a problem. We have a problem here. It's getting bigger. So we have jail had to expand because it was getting too many inmates. And through that, they want to help the drug addiction. They wanted those addictions to have better, some work through. So they're going to put some more of them over in this work release, kind of this drug program over there. So that releases some spots in the jail and expanded. But it ends up filling up. And here we have a bunch of churches. They say Huntington County has 100 churches, but a lot of them are running around with 8 or 10 people. Not saying numbers are everything, but that does say something. And you got a bunch of churches with 8, 10 people, 25 people. They're hanging on. They're hanging on. They're hanging on. They're hanging on. Why are we hanging on? What are we doing? What are we doing? If the gospel's not being shared, and it's not being, you can't expect me to, I'm going to share the gospel here. Amen? In this pulpit, whoever's preaching is going to share the gospel. Amen? We're going to share the gospel through our ministries. Amen? We're going to do that. But here it is. You want to win the city. You got to go down to the places like the river. You got to go down to the riverbanks and go fishing. When you see a guy over there fishing, that's an opportunity. He ain't going anywhere. He's fishing. And if you're a fisherman and you got a line in, you never want to leave. So you have an opportunity to talk to somebody sitting there on the bank. You want to go down to the park. You can pick up a ball game. You can go play basketball. We are not sharing the gospel. We need to be sharing the gospel at work. We need to be sharing the gospel. We need to win more people to Christ. We need to do that. People need to be what Lydia was doing. She was listening. But for someone to listen, there has to be someone that is talking and speaking, sharing the gospel. Some of you all had told me, used to tell me about really good testimonies about how you were praying for somebody at work, how you were sharing the gospel with someone, or, hey, pray for this. I'm really trying to ask God to open the door for this person to hear the gospel. And guess what? You came back with a story and someone got saved or whatever it is. We're not hearing those. We need to be sharing the gospel. Without Jesus Christ, a man is lost no matter what he has. No matter what status, no matter what title he has, if a man doesn't have Jesus Christ, God says he is lost and separated from him. The only way you can come is through his son, Jesus Christ. That's it. People don't come to Jesus without people sharing the gospel. But you can't do it unless you have love and you have compassion for lost people. And it can't just be for your family. Pray for your family, but know that if you have Jesus Christ here today, we have a more of a family here today because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, which is everlasting. But let me tell you, don't sit there and think you're alone in this world if you're a believer. If you're alone, you're alone because you're on your own. You're making yourself on your own. You have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you need to reach out and trust somebody. You say, well, I don't trust anybody. Well, listen, if you don't trust anybody, people are not going to trust you. You got to take a risk. You got to call somebody up and say, hey, can we go do coffee? Can we just go to, some of you need friends. Some of you are lonely. It's because we're not calling. We're not talking to someone. You're waiting for the phone call to ring, for the phone to ring. It's not going to ring. You pick it up. You need to make the call. Not everybody. We need to get closer together. And as this story, as we will get here in next, as we get through this story, her name's going to come up again and they're going to need her place. Because they're going to need her place for a minute. And God knows it. So here I'm sharing today in this Macedonian call. Here it is. God has given a new life call. Didn't know we were going to have New Life Ministries. It is a call that God has given to us as a church. But there's also individual things that God has called us to do. I want to ask you, are you on board? I hope that you are. I hope that you're on board of what we're trying to do here. I hope you're on board of what the Lord is trying to do here. The Lord has put a place in here. Listen, because of New Life Ministries, Huntington is without excuse. Huntington's without excuse. There's a lot of good churches out there that's preaching the gospel. Huntington is without excuse. Huntington, in those who are searching for help with addictions, they're without excuse. There's several programs here. It's, what God is doing is making it to where men don't even have an excuse for nothing. It's by choice, man or woman refuses God. So today I want to ask you an important question. One, do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He did come and that He did die for man's sin upon the cross, shed the blood for the remission of sin, that He gave His life and He gave it. It wasn't taken, but that He gave it, and that they buried Him in a tomb. But they couldn't hold Him because He was sinless. Death could not hold Him. Upon His, and the power of God, He rose from the grave as the Savior of the world. And with all that, you think God's going to offer another way? No, sir. There is no other way unto heaven and to be in the presence of God without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today you may be Lydia and you may fear God, but you don't have Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity today to come. And I will share the gospel with you, and we will pray, and we will ask the Lord to begin to move in your heart and in your life, that you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your God. Today you may be someone else that is struggling with your relationship with God. You need to work that out with Him. Whatever it is today, you need to pray. If you need to be more active in praying for others, the opportunity to do that is now. Amen? So let's go ahead and stand. That's what we're doing.